It's as if we're between stories.
This is Beyond Polarity with Donna Kennedy Glantz.
These days, Alberta feels like a different place. People are different. And where I live, Calgary, that difference is plain to see in the contrast, like night and day, a noticeable shift in the spirit of this place. If you'd told me 25 years ago that the confidence, the let's-get-her-done attitude that attracted no end of talent to Calgary would cool in less than a generation, well, it's like I said, we're between stories. It's 1982. I'm literally a farmer's daughter from southern Ontario, and I marry a Calgarian, the love of my life. As the singer Gordon Lightfoot assured me then and thousands of others moving west at the time, it felt good to be Alberta-bound. 1982, the province was coming to terms with the infamous National Energy Program, brainchild of Trudeau the Elder. Canadians were told the country was in danger, and I quote, increasingly dependent on insecure foreign supplies and therefore unnecessarily subject to the vagaries of the world oil market, unquote. As a federal policy, Canadians were told the NEP would protect them from rising oil and gas prices. But for Alberta, it was the Fed's way of putting the province in its place. The coinciding of Canada's constitutional redo and the National Energy Program in the early 1980s created a perfect opening for Alberta's premier, Peter Lougheed. He went toe-to-toe with the Feds, even threatening to stop the flow of oil and gas out of the province. Lougheed was a lawyer, and he knew the province's rights to and control of its resources was resolved in 1930. The damage was done, regardless. The imposition of the NEP suffocated investment for a time, but it did come back, like the cycles of boom and bust, and boom again. For the next 35 years, Alberta's prosperity was tied to energy. We rode the world oil markets like a bronco rider. We innovated, added value to natural gas, partially upgraded oil, and figured out how to develop the oil sands. Right now, it feels like Alberta's coming unbound. The structure that's held us together is coming apart. We are at a defining moment for our energy, the energy economy, and our energy as a people, for Confederation. Canada ranks third in the world for proven oil reserves, after Venezuela and Saudi Arabia. Yet most of that oil remains trapped in landlocked Alberta. Foreign energy investors have turned away, and even Canadian companies are skittish. Pipelines we need to get oil and liquefied natural gas to Tidewater have been cancelled and postponed. Rule of law has been subsumed by social license. Blatant self-interest trumps national or public interest. Civil disobedience is becoming the new normal. For Green Party leader and federal member of parliament, Elizabeth May, it's a badge of honor to be charged as one of the dissidents blockading Trans Mountain's legally sanctioned pipeline construction. And squabbles between provinces have escalated into trade wars. For the first time since the days of the National Energy Program, Alberta is threatening to turn off the oil and gas taps to other Canadians. So what happens next? I'll tell you what I see ahead for Alberta and for our country in the next podcast.
Beyond Polarity with Donna Kennedy Glantz. Let Donna know what you think of the ideas. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. It's free. Until the next time, thanks for listening.